And okay, yeah, okay, we're good to go. So we're holding here in the Shisha Dvarim Amukim. So we have here the
Rabbi?
yes.
Sorry, I don't know if you want to go into this, but after last week's share, we had a bit of a conversation, and it was Nisbare that none of us really understood that the Ikka Dibur is emotive speech.
Okay.
Could you maybe go over that idea again?
Sure. Let's. I mean, the first thing to note about it is, it says that the ik of Adam is ruach memalala. So ruach memalala, a person begs the question: wouldn't one consider machshava to be more important? Given the choice, I think machshava is a much better evaluation of a person than is dibur. So we need to understand. So by saying this, koyach ha-dibur is unique to Adam, and more so than machshava, because machshava is something which malachim also have. Machshava is something that belongs to a world that is Hester, and the Etzem is Hester. It's not something that's within this world. And Malachim and your whole Kochavim and Galgalim have Machshava, they also have Machshava. So that's not unique to Adam. On the other hand, Maisa is all Baal Chaim, all Chai has Maisa. So that's not unique to Adam either. What's unique to Adam is the ability to bridge the two, to bring Machshava into the world of Maisa, so that A, when a person does something, it definitely has a lot more of the flavor of a bar. There's an indication that a bar das did it with machshava tchila, and so on and so forth. That's one way in which Adam bridges the two and shows himself to be unique. Adam's unique position is that he straddles both worlds. He has an neshama from Elyonim and a guf from Tachtonim. Now, so a little bit when it's nika from Maisa Machshava, we have some of it. But if we're to look for something that has in itself, within itself, those elements of both together, Dibur is a much better candidate. Because the Maral says, the Maral, when he speaks in Siva Lashon, this is the Nekuda that he constantly comes back to and elaborates on it and so on, is Dibur, it's toichen of the same thing as the machshava, and the dibur is sort of the maisa of the machshava. As opposed to the fact of when I schlep a table across the room, I have some indication that there was machshava there, but it's a sort of very deductive type of reasoning. Why did so and so matriach himself and schlep the table across the room? I guess he's planning to put something there. I guess it's bothering the other side of the room. And so on. Mashegi, when I say that this table belongs there, in Dibur itself, we have a type of, in Dibur itself, we have a sort of a coalescing of the two into one unit. And that's why Dibur, that's Maral's Arichos Gedolim and Siva Lashon about that. In Dibur itself, let's analyze different types of Diburim. Diburim that are physical to physical. In other words, it's hot. I touched something and I said, it's hot, be careful. Is the coffee ready yet? Those Diburim are, yes, they're a Dibur, and they do have, technically they have Machshava and Maisa, but really, all they are a feedback. In a certain sense, if let's say I have a piece of paper that turns colors when something gets hot, or sort of a litmus test, or many, you know, or you have thermometer. Thermometer is great. I have a thermometer and I put it in. The thermometer tells me it's hot. The heat heated up the mercury. Mercury went up the column, and it says on it, whatever it is, 100 degrees centigrade or 99 degrees centigrade, so on. the same thing, and same thing any other time when the Dibur is simply a digitalization of the physical, I don't have really the essence of Dibur. I haven't bridged two worlds. And in essence, anything that a computer could tell me is lacking in Dibur, because basically it's simply what I'm doing is I'm transforming items from one physical phenomena to another physical phenomena. So let's say I have something, a light that's shining. I can take an instrument that measures the brightness of light, and the instrument will say 8,000 lumens. So I can say 8,000 lumens. It's one and the same. And so on. Those are all not real Dibur. If we're to ask ourselves, what is a type of inyan? Now, if an intellectual inyan is a little better, but something that's a purely rational inyan is not going to... it's also a certain sense, 2 and 2 equals 4, in a certain sense, is physical to physical. What I've done is simply transformed it from one format to another format. When I take in Yonim that are etzem shayach to a world that's not physical, to sort of a different realm, and brought it out somewhat through Dibur, then I have, that's called Dibur at its best. There are two things that come to mind. One is abstract types of reasoning. For instance, justice. Justice, in its with a capital J, is something which doesn't exist as a physical reality. It is not a physical reality. It's an idea. It's an ideal. And the fact that I can actually... the fact that I can actually say it, the fact that I can communicate it so that we all have a similar idea of what we're talking about, and it's transferable to other people, this is justice, this is injustice, means that, I have the koach to bring it out. I have the koach to explain ideas that are abstract using physical words, and it gets the idea across. Those are examples of it. Primary are, in a human koiches ha-nefesh, that would be similar to emotional content of maise. When I do a maise besimcha, when I'm dancing besimcha, I've sort of translated my understanding into the world of maise. Or better said, the understanding has emerged, surfaced in the world of Maisa. So someone tells me this is good, and someone tells me some good news, and you can see on my face a smile, and I'm happy, and I'm dancing and singing. So that means the idea has transversed into this world. I was reading once, there's a book, I think it's called Like an Anthropologist on Mars, by, the guy's a famous neurologist, he's written tons of books, Sachs, Jonathan Sachs, he's written books about, no, Alva Sachs, sorry, Jonathan Sachs is the chief of Israel, and chief of England, and this fellow I think is Alva Sachs. He's a neurologist in New York, he's written a lot of interesting books about all sorts of fascinating cases he dealt with. One of them was he spent a few days with a woman professor who is she's an autistic woman. Her name is Gardner, who has pulled herself or was pulled out of her autism in terms of functionality. And she is a professor for agriculture, in agriculture. And she is especially noted for understanding livestock, how they act, react. She was used to design humane slaughtering pens for shechita houses because she understands what affects the animal and how. A lot of very interesting examples. So she's autistic, that's what she is. And they've trained and whatever, and she's a highly successful woman, not married. And he spent a few days with her, interviewing, talking, observing, and so on. What's fascinating is this woman is a very intelligent woman. She does not have the ability to understand words that denote emotion. They were driving back. She was driving back to the airport, and the place that she was located was in the Rockies, which are beautiful mountains and so on. And he was saying, "I am awestruck by it." And she said, "You know, I've heard that word used many times. I've looked it up, and I still can't understand what you mean by the word awe. You told me these mountains are huge, and that I understand. I understand this, but the word awestruck just doesn't ring a bell. I can't relate to that." And I think the flip side of it is that's why she has the ability to understand the animals, because she can sort of understand how they're seeing things, what they're seeing. It's a different context. But alkoponim, the autism is a problem of not being able to tap into emotions. Autistic people tend to be in a very kind of emotional flat. And that really is a fascinating piece of not, there are no emotions, or the emotions can't come to the surface, or it doesn't strike anything. When we're able to speak about something, then communicate a deeper sense of things, that is Koach HaDibur at its best. In a parallel vein, in a sort of a similar oifen, when I'm doing a maisa and capable of infusing my thoughts into the maisa, that would be what we would call emotion or dibur. And let me explain that. And I think we've said it a few times, but it's an idea that takes quite a while to get used to. Why the Torah speaks about thinking about the Chol HaVavchem. If a person, let's say we have the ultimate, an ultimate scanning machine, that I can scan the functions of every single part of the human body. And I'm scanning, and I tell a person, there's a gunman outside ready to kill you. Now, the brain will certainly, in all cases, show activity, unless the person is dead. It's impossible, because the brain has to be coiled the information, digest it, and deal with it, either by acceptance, by resistance, by figuring a way out of it. That outcome is universal. Now, the next step is, has this person become excited in any way? Has his heart started beating or not? So if someone comes along and tells me there are millions and millions of people in Africa that are being killed, starved, tortured, etc., etc., will that arouse any reaction, any ave in our body except for our mind? The answer is doubtful. Because, yes?
Maybe you do know you're talking to three South Africans.
Well, choose the white or the black people, whichever one, but are suffering terribly. That I leave up to each person to fill in the blanks. But I didn't know all three of you were South Africans. I know Peter is South African. I know all three of you. It registers. So if I ask a person, did you hear that? Yes. Do you think it's a good thing? I would say it's a terrible thing. Okay, but I have no other indicators except for the increased wavelength. You absorb the information and it's being processed. It becomes an emotion when it has moved into one body function at least. I've turned redder. My heart is beating quicker, slower, more erratically. I'm sweating. I'm jumping. I'm dancing. I'm screaming. I'm yelling. All of those are indicators of emotion. So emotion is when yidiyah has transversed the border between the Pnim and the Chutz, the world of Machshava, the world of Maisa, and so on. So when I sit and I shake a little bit Esrig, and I absolutely have no feelings in it, then the action doesn't say anything. I mean, why shake a little Esrig? Well, it's habit, social pressure, or social acquiescence. It could be just training, rote, or an understanding that it's the right thing to do, but no self-invested in it. The Kriya HaDibur is to produce something that combines in itself the two together. And in a broader sense, that would be the investment of Maisa with what we would call feeling, regish, because that's really the sort of, there is ki'ilu the chiyus of it. There's a lashon in the Zohar HaKadosh that the Baal HaTanya brings, and it says that the chilur chimu, fear and love, are three gatfim, two wings, that without it, the mitzvahs and tefillahs don't go up to Shemayim. Which means that a bird is seen as being a kind of ruchniistic abriya, in a sense that a bird sort of flies in the air, it's sort of lighter than air and so on, even though it's a body. Nothing else physical, everything physical falls down except for a bird. So a bird is seen sort of as having similar qualities. The mechanism by which a bird goes up is called the chilur chimu, yirin ava. So that's the mechanism by which its sulca goes up, because that sort of is the helium in the balloon. Just like a balloon filled with helium rises because its pnim is light enough around, so to speak. Let's call it more ruchni, it's a bar term, and it's kind of the terminology that they would use. Those sort of two wings create that type of effect. If a person has no avenir whatsoever when he does it, he neither feels inspired nor overwhelmed, and so the mela is coming without any feeling, then it's not going anywhere. It's not going up to Shemayim. Are we okay? What's the... Hello?
Is Rebbe calling those things also Dibur?
Yes, that belongs it belongs under the umbrella of Dibur. When the Sfarim HaKadoshim say that a person functions at three levels, at Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa, the Dibur is the category of all things that are the bridge between the two worlds. So in a different context, that would be what we would call feelings. So in a chenami, if we ask ourselves, where is that mentioned? Well, that would fall into the category of Machshava, Dibur, Maisa, form the Dibur. And that's what about Tanya Sakashvach Mitzav Machshava L'Maisa. A person can't fill in the middle with feelings and so on. That's the realm of feelings.
Sorry, Rabbi Lobodinsky, couldn't you say that Dibur, in other words, you could say otherwise, you could say that Dibur corresponds equally to all three Chalka Nefesh, that you can have a Dibur which is connected to the Guf, a Dibur which is connected to the Ruach, and a Dibur which is connected to the Neshama. Why do you have to say, in other words, it depends how you define the Dibur.
Well,
if you define the Dibur as a Kilui, so then there's really no distinction between where it gets to.
Well, in terms of Maisa, words fall short. You know, Tzadikim, Omer Matva, Osim Harbe, Dibur is never a full Maisa. Tashayel Gemara, if it has a Shem Maisa or not, for Oinshim and things like that. So we can't look at Dibur. The Malgus of Dibur in mitzvahs that require a seer, giving is always superior to speaking. Doing is superior to speaking. Machshava is a much deeper than diburim. A person whose thinking process includes more diburim than thought has a very poor thinking process. So dibur in terms of depth and oimik doesn't hold a candle to machshava, and in terms of lemaisa doesn't hold a candle to real maisa. But what it does do is it has an incredible ability to bridge the two. It is the bridge to which the etzim, in a certain sense, is the tachlis adam. In other words, tachlis adam, and let's take the mashal back to it. In terms of machshava, malachim and galgalim, if you wish, are superior to adam. In terms of maisa, balechayim are superior to adam. The Adam's role is that he is a machshava, his malgusa over balechayim is that his asiyah is b'machshava, and his malgusa over malach hasharis is that his machshavas can become maisim, which is natural of malachim. So Adam's nekuda is the nekuda of where those two inyanim are misyached, where they become one in. So, I mean, when you want to talk about dibur, its most pronounced oifin, it means any activity that demonstrates the kesher between the two, rather than a mila in the term of the quality of the maisim they did, and so on.
It comes out that dibur is a bit lav dafka. Then that's just a dogma of this chibur.
Dibur is the most as opposed to maisa. If I want to convey feelings, then dibur is the best way to do it. Yes, you can always what is it called? I think there's a company, Daber Bepachim, speak with flowers. I don't know, company, song, whatever it is. Fine. But in the ability to give over the pnimius, dibur is superior to maisa. Maisa is only an approximation. If I brought you a box of chocolates, I must think well of you. But it's the schmaltzy note that I write that sort of gives much better expression to the feelings I have. So it's that is specifically that's the domain of the burnt. I think that's if we're dividing up human activities in machshavah and maisa, what we call regish is not the fall of the dibur. Okay, it takes some getting used to, but the truth is, it also takes getting used to the other side of it. When you learn the Sefer, that the three shlavim, the three strata of human endeavors, machshava, dibur, maisa, dibur sticks out like a sore thumb. I would say there's machshava, that definitely is a strata, and maisa. A dibur, you can call it a mini maisa, somewhat of a maisa. I certainly can't see offhand the justice of giving it a status of its own. I mean, what is it? I mean, like, why does it rank along those two? And the answer is because the dibur we're talking about is something that embodies both together. It every dibur has a teichin that came from a world of machshava, and an expression that is not distinct from the world of maisa. They come hand in hand.
So just one quick question. Sure. The Gemara about Leah says nobody was moide to Hashem until right. Leah came along. Is that the same idea, that dibur of Hoidah was the first time in the history of the world where the toichen was of the dibur was ready. Is that the pshat of that Maimar Chazal?
Well, forget what I said. In other words, Chazal is saying that nobody. Let's leave alone where we're trying to explain. Obviously there have been people before Avraham Avinu. Nobody in a way that compared to Leah. What exactly it was unique about it? That's many drushes have been said on it. But our component, I don't know if there's any special significance that I'm saying. It's just it's a type of dibur. I guess maybe that's what you're aiming at. It's very meaningful. We're not talking about how wonderful, filled with gratitude she was. It's not a question of a haracha for her midas hakara. It's a question of bringing out into the world a certain darga of dibur that is. That creates a new reality. The ability to express that I am nothing and it's all Hashem's doing and so on, which is what Hakar is in a certain sense, was unique and that's what it stood out in. So it's unique in those Dibur did not exist yet. People had not, and I guess, you know what, maybe let's sort of extend it a drop. The hot and cold, let's take that again, that example. Let's say I was a human being that touched the hottest thing ever. And I'm saying something about it. So I'm not being mechadish anything in the sense that I touched this hot thing, it hurt me. I touched the thing, it was very hot, and it very hurt me. I wasn't mechadishing the burim, even if I were the first person to say it. But when a person expresses a feeling or an attitude that had not ever been expressed, that becomes a chiddush in the world. That she's the first one to be moida. In however we'll understand why her haidah is so meaningful, what it implies is that those diburim of Hida were brought into the world, and no one quite had that. I want to again, you'll excuse me if I repeat mites or whatever it is. I had a teacher, old professor. I might have told the story. He was a history teacher and very eccentric, like most people taught in yeshivas. They were kind of poorly paid, afternoon hours. At the Yeshiva Bachem. So the bottom line was he used to be a professor at City College in history, must have been in his 80s or who knows what. Very eccentric, but really, really a good teacher. And he was talking about what did Thomas Paine accomplish with his pamphlet Common Sense. Now, since I'm dealing with South Africans, I have the liberty of talking about American history. Thomas Paine was a fellow who, during the American Revolution, was very instrumental in riling everybody up. He wrote a pamphlet called Common Sense, which he printed up and gave out, it was very moving and roused the troops and so on and so forth. And it was one of the things instrumental in getting Americans to rebel, etc. So I remember the way he said, he didn't say anything in that pamphlet that other people hadn't been thinking about. These were thoughts floating around. These were what people felt, believed, and so on and so forth. The word he used was, he crystallized it. In other words, until there hadn't been, everybody's restless. Everybody wasn't happy with the state of affairs. So they grumbled. This cost too much. The English are too heavy-handed, etc., 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 etc. So, but when a person is able to sort of encapsulate it, so I mean, let's take something simple. You have in America debates about abortion. So you have one group that's pro-life. So that's good. You know, we want the Uber to live. So the other group is not going to call itself pro-death or pro-abortion. That doesn't sound good. So they call it pro-choice, which automatically sounds very, very positive. We want to give people bechira. I mean, this is what a person is, the freedom to make decisions and so on and so forth. It's not directly counting the other person's, the other people's taina. We don't have freedom to choose to kill anybody. But that would be, if you were to package it as killing, wouldn't go well. So the smart thing to do is, is to package it that way. In Dibur lies the ability to give, to bring out emotions and feelings in a certain way. And that's an extraordinary nekuda.
Revi?
Yeah.
Trying to think where I've seen it, but definitely, you know, this idea sounds very much like when people speak about Das, as opposed to, you know, Chochma Bina Das, that Das is when it penetrates.
Correct. And being that Das is the end process of Sichlius, that would be seen as being part and parcel of, that introduces Dibur. The Maral speaks about endless amount of times about Seichel Yuni and Seichel HaDibri. There is a Seichel that tries to think into Inyanim and a Seichel that tries to explain Inyanim. So, well, yes, it's something which is at the end where Seichel leaves off is where you have either Dibur or you just have a Stam Maisa without any content. So if I decide, okay, I think I'm closing the air conditioning, it goes from Machshava to a Maisa. It never becomes Dibur. Even if I tell a dozen people on my side, I'm going to close the air conditioner, or I tell somebody else to close the air conditioner, that's not Dibur in its real sense. It's a mikra of Dibur, but it's not Be'atzmius of Dibur. That's as if Dibur is, not even when I say I'm cold, that's as if Dibur is, you know, something that requires digging into the oimek of a person and bringing it out. Any more questions? Okay, so I guess we'll hold it here. It's quite late now. So the same, but don't hesitate. It's sort of a way which we're not used to thinking, because we don't even sort of quantify regesh or put it into any one place. But if you think about it, the regesh is really where you see the fusion of a person's das / seichel with his guf. It's where there's a direct effect, not cause and effect. When my mind says, go now and get yourself a cup of water, you are thirsty, that's the type of thing a Baal Chai could do and a computer could do. This is simply, it's an algorithm of, yes, thirsty, not thirsty. Not thirsty, simple learning. Yes, thirsty, go to kitchen. Go to kitchen, open refrigerator. If there's Coca-Cola, get Coca-Cola. If not, get this, and so on and so forth. That's all it is. But when you talk about other things, when you're talking about inyanim that requires something more than that, that's really where you come into that type of das, that type of seichel is moilid, what we would call regesh or dibur, is a fair it's a fair counterword, so to speak. Okay. So good Shabbos.
Shabbos Shalom. Woke me up.